This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Exciting and new, come aboard, we're expecting you and love, life's sweetest reward, let it flow, it floats back to you.
Welcome to The Undercard, everybody. Songs that I got the lyrics wrong all the time.
Wait, how can you get the lyrics wrong?
I thought it was soon they'd be making another one, not run.
Another one, like another Love Boat?
And then at the old studio, I told the story of the Dukes of Hazzard song was Someday I'm Off the Lion. Someday a mountain might get them, which makes no sense to me.
Exciting. Like, and
the mountain might get them. No, they're going to crash into the mountain.
They're not going to crash off the mountain. The mountain might get them, but the law never will.
We're expecting you.
And then, no, because it generally could outrun a mountain lion.
Right.
Yours makes no sense, Brad.
Oh, no.
No sense whatsoever.
The one, this song's getting played tonight, but this one stuck with me forever. Huge Bruce Springsteen fan. Glory Days.
Yeah.
The lyric is, when she feels like crying, she starts thinking about Glory Days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Clarence was in the band, and the way he says crying, I swear it's like, she thinks about Clarence, she says. So I was like, wow, you know? But as a kid growing up, there was a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
And you didn't always have sheet music in albums.
That's right, sure, yeah.
Especially the Dukes of Hazzard, I had it on a 45.
Well, there are entire websites devoted to, like, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Right, yeah.
You make the rice, I'll make the gravy.
Oh, yes. Really, Joel?
Yeah.
I'm like, wait,
yeah.
What was that?
You just got really far away, Jimmy.
I'm in an echo mode. Echo, echo,
far,
echo,
far.
Echo. So, no, but every time I hear the Love Boat theme, I always think of, like, a lounge singer in, like, Vegas singing the song.
Yep.
Yeah, but without the, you know, because if you go... If you ever been to Vegas and you go to the lounge singer, you're going to be like, the Love Boat, hey, is making another run.
And you should make a run to try that veal.
Right, exactly. So, don't forget to tip your waitress. You're a great crowd.
Joining us, as always, is Anthony Barnes over there, too.
Yeah,
I'm here. We might as well just officially make him part of the show.
That's the plan.
You can't say you're only here for lasagna when this is your fifth appearance, right? Or is this our fourth?
Fourth here.
Whatever. Yeah. Since we've come over to the new place,
you guys have food now, so
right.
Listen, I'm not going to say it isn't mountains better than it was at the other place. I'm not going to say that.
We're going to talk a lot of Floyd Mayweather Jr. because he's all over the news for a lot of wrong reasons, and we're going to address that. Not like he's doing anything bad, but it's just stupid that some of this stuff is the news. This bizarre talk about him fighting Rosie, which would never happen. So why even bring it up?
Unless she married him.
Would never happen. but just like, I love the sport that you could say, would Muhammad Ali beat Mike Tyson? But when you get so stupid about it and you're like, well, would Ronda Rousey beat Floyd Mayweather? It's just stupid talk. It's just like bizarre and stuff like that. So we'll talk about that. He also made his top five pick. A lot of people disagreed with that, but we'll talk about
everybody,
it. We do have a guest calling in, or we're calling the guest.
We still haven't figured that out yet.
TFC. You want to try pronouncing the name of our guest?
Tabobadong.
Okay, Wolf.
Wolf Tabobadong.
Tabobadong. Right.
Yeah. Wolf? I mean, think that's how you pronounce the name. If we're wrong, we greatly apologize.
Big apologies. Change your name to Smith.
Just call him Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Dragon Ball. There you go.
I don't know
actually,
if that's better.
Actually, I think
I didn't know they had
I think
balls.
His name should be like Wolf, like Goku Saiyan or something like that.
Wolf,
so.
Wolf alone is perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
The Wolf on Wall Street. Jordan Belfort. That's all you need to know in life. I mean, that guy lived for a span before he got busted. Like the craziest life ever. So Wolf's a good nickname because people can chant Wolf just like they do in the movie at your show.
Yeah, it's hard to chant Tabobadong. Tabobadong. That guy. That guy.
And then you also got somebody lined up in the second hour there, Jimmy.
Yes. I have a gentleman by the name of Sam. He is an amazing kid. I was at an event this weekend. We'll go into it more detail. But him and his friends have basically started a charity group, and their funds go to the cancer kids at Children's Mots. And just what they're doing is just amazing. So we're going to have him on the show later on.
Then we get to recap, but if you listened to last week's episode, Jimmy's first date. We aren't going to get into it too much, but Emily will be calling in, or we'll be calling
we'll
more.
We still haven't figured it out yet.
We're not going to get into it too much because not too
we're,
much
we're
happened.
All set for outgoing phone
okay,
calls.
All right, so we will be calling all these people.
Yes.
All right.
It'd be great if we could spend the entire show talking about it.
See, last week was you
happened.
Have to let me know when phone calls are going to come in so that I can get the phone. I can get that set. And I didn't know we were calling people. Now I know we're calling people. Ta-da, it's working.
All right.
This is how the undercard works. We don't know what we're talking
we
about.
Just,
until
I think
about
we just assume that if we could
show,
get calls so. In, we could make calls out.
No, this is technology. It doesn't work
okay.
that way.
Okay.
we'll need that. It's a called Bull Durham.
And then we'll talk a little bit about both Brad and I had our reunions in the past month. So we'll talk a little
mine
bit
was canceled.
About that.
I was supposed to have mine Saturday.
It was not canceled. They just didn't invite you.
No, they invited a bunch of people, and only 13 people RSVP'd.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which,
you know what's
awesome.
Funny? Which is funny enough that that's kind of what ended up happening with mine, where they made the event page and did everything, and then and only like 30 people said that they were going to come, but so many more actually showed up.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's on Facebook, not everybody does the event pages. A lot of people paid
at
the door.
I don't remember. I know I mentioned this last week. I don't know if it was on the air or not, but on the event page for my reunion, there was a guy that posted a meme. It was somebody wearing a T-shirt that perfectly sums up how I felt about it. It said, "Here's my take on high school reunions. Mm-hmm. If I haven't talked to you in 20 years, there's a reason."
You know what? You think
so. And that
so.
Is perfect.
Actually, you think so, but there were quite a few people that I haven't spoken to since high school for whatever reason, but actually we reconnected at the reunion.
Everybody that I care to still talk to from high school, I talk to. I don't need to go to a reunion and blech.
All right.
They're terrible.
I had fun at mine, but we'll
I
get into
fun,
that
yeah.
later.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a pretty complete show. We might have actually somebody else stopping in later, too, so I don't want to announce that. Because it might not happen, apparently. But, yeah, who knows exactly.
Okay.
But it is lasagna show.
Oh, yeah, it
lasagna
is.
Lasagna show. Nom, nom, nom.
Michelle said the lasagna is not for her. It's for the joy it puts in other people's hearts. And so, like, she's the Santa Claus of lasagna.
And the brick and it puts in our bellies.
Yeah. So worth it, though.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, God.
Yeah.
I realize I'm not going to shit right for a week. But I don't
you probably won't shit for a week.
I know, but I don't care. So worth it.
So our listeners can know, how many pounds of cheese go into it?
4.5.
4.5 pounds of cheese.
I was supposed to experience this like a long time ago. You know, this lasagna
was
thing.
It worth the wait?
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was.
That's all.
Is it the best lasagna you ever had? Be honest.
See, lasagna is my favorite. Period.
Ooh. Yeah.
So it's definitely the cheesiest lasagna. it's definitely in the top. I could say it's definitely the top five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Top five.
There's a lot of lasagna you go out and it's not expected at all.
No. The worst are when you go to a restaurant and you order lasagna and it looks like it came out of a Chef Boyardee can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that. Oh,
I ordered it one place and I honestly don't remember the name of the restaurant. Now, they had pickles in it. Pickles and lasagna. Like, I thought it was a mistake.
It depends on the pickle and it depends on how they prepared it.
No, pickles have no place in lasagna.
On what planet is... what?
Yes, I know. I thought there was a mistake. I called the server over and was like, listen, I want to let you know. Somebody put pickles in your lasagna. Yeah.
And she's like, oh, that's how
she's like, yeah, that's how we do it. Wow. And I was like, well, take this shit out of here.
I don't know what you made, but it is not lasagna.
Right? It was ridiculous. So that was the worst lasagna I've ever
had. I love being at like a real nice restaurant, though, in with a girl that won't eat like fish. And then they order Caesar dressing, and you'd be like, you know, there's anchovies. And
right, yeah. Like, yeah. Well, no, it depends. Like, they don't. Not all of them actually put the anchovies in.
If it's a nice restaurant, there's anchovies.
No, he's done it to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, if it's, yeah, but I don't, I like Caesar dressing.
If it's Wendy's,
but,
no.
No, if it's a nice restaurant, I won't order the Caesar because I know they put anchovies in.
But you can't tell. The Caesar is so delicious.
Anchovies gives it that kick.
That's the reason why I order it.
See, I like it because I like the romaine lettuce and the cheese on it. You can put Italian on it for all I care.
It's the kick.
It's not a Caesar, then.
All right, Barnes, between you and me, which one of us looks like we know how to eat? Well, thank you.
No, hold on, though.
Thank you.
Brad can stick up for me.
Oh, he can eat.
I can eat.
Yeah, Anthony
I've
can
never seen anybody eat like him.
Actually, I have heard about your, what is it, a double?
Bam Bams.
A Bam Bam. What is it?
It's
a
Bang Bang.
A Bang Bang. Bang. Yeah, I've heard about those, which... Yeah. Legendary,
it is,
I have
it
to
is
say.
Legendary.
That's
it's two complete meals plus dessert.
That's I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
Like chocolate or fudge, but that's his way of celebrating.
Yeah.
And that's cool that a fighter does that.
I'm just going to eat my lasagna.
You know how tough is it to cut weight for you? Because you are a food guy.
Yeah, you know I'm a big food guy, and I have my dad's genes. And if I don't see my dad's a big guy. You know, he's tall and he's big. So. I get down 168 pounds for everyone that doesn't know that, and I walk around when I'm not training as hard as I should, around 200 and something. So it takes a while, and it's pretty difficult. But I've been maintaining 185 pounds or less since my last fight. I've been pretty good at that.
And you just went on a hiking trip.
I did not realize that Barnes and I weigh the same. That's weird.
You just went on a hiking trip. How much did you lose on the hiking trip? You had to because you were going full carb.
Yeah, no.
No, we were talking about this before the show. Tell him what food you brought, and then you'll understand.
Oh, he had steak. I saw he's cooking steak.
No, not just steak.
Hold on. So my pack was like 80 pounds realistically, and most of it was food. I brought like a 5-pound sack of potatoes, 3-pound bag of rice, a couple T-bone steaks, bacon, sausage, pretty much everything you don't. Pack. Oh, and a bunch of canned food, too.
But if my wife is listening, honey, this is how I will camp.
Yeah, like, this is how, like, in my mind, I'm like, you know, I could deadlift
that's roughing
15
it.
Pounds. I'm like, an 80-pound pack for 24 miles? Yeah. No big deal.
That's roughing it to Barnes.
Yeah.
When, it's only 5 pounds of potatoes and a couple of T-bones. So, we might not make it out alive.
You know, I actually lost weight, believe it or not. So
I would have thought so because I saw what you were carrying.
Yeah, I lost like 4 pounds.
And you hiked you hiked which river?
24, Manistee.
In 24 miles?
Yeah, it's 24 miles, yeah.
That's a
it's
lot.
It's a loop.
Like in how much time?
Oh, I did it 12 miles one day and 12 miles the other day.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
And then the middle day, I was there for 3 days. I was fishing, swimming, stuff like that.
Is hiking something exploring. You do regularly? Or?
I try to do outdoorsy things, you know, but I never went on a hike that long.
You ever done any part of the Appalachian Trail, or would you ever do it?
Yes, I would. That'd be awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not all that outdoorsy, but I would actually like to do that at some point.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
Crazy, but something that I'd like to try. It goes from, like, Georgia to Maine. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I don't see you hiking it, though.
No. I mean, I would drive most of it, I think.
I don't even see you cable carrying it up.
No, there. I would. Like, here's the thing. I've been on the Appalachian Trail for, like, 3 feet.
Yeah.
Then I was like, all right, I've done the Appalachian Trail. Thank you.
You never hear stories, though, about like hiking in Michigan. The Appalachian Trail, it's the deliverance feel to it. It really does have it.
Well, part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read A Walk in the Woods? Read that. It's by Jim Bryson. It's about him and a buddy of his hiking the Appalachian Trail like during a midlife crisis, basically.
Is it good?
It's very good. It's very funny, but, you know, touching. And, like, they do the whole thing. They go from Georgia to Maine.
That's pretty, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's intense.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. Well, most of it. They actually skipped part of Maine because
any
one of them
concern
got
when
sick.
You're cooking, like, the T-bones and stuff, a bear's going to come along? Because it looked like you weren't at a KOA.
No, I was just, you know, we set up our campsite, like, next to a river, which I guess by law we find out you're not supposed to do that close. I was, like, 3 feet away.
was it a van by
no,
the river?
No, no. But, no, not really. I'm not really that worried about bears.
I didn't know. I mean,
will you fight a bear? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'll
fight him. I'll fight the bear.
We have enough guns. We're fine. Totally okay.
It's weird. I love the culture of outdoors. I just don't participate. Like, you can take me into Cabela's, and I think it's one of the coolest stores I've ever been into.
Absolutely. I
hear
you.
But ask me to go further than, like, yeah, I don't get into
it. The idea of camping and hiking
it
is
sounds
awesome.
It's peaceful,
it's awesome,
right?
But you know what? Then I remember I pay a mortgage, so I don't have to sleep outside.
Exactly.
You know? My ancestors looked around and said, it sucks out here. Let's build a structure and live in that.
Go find Crazy Edison and get him to make electricity.
Exactly. That's what my people did.
Go find Tesla.
So I feel that I would be dishonoring my ancestors' memories by sleeping outside. All the sacrifices they made.
I want to. I remember the stuff that I don't like about outdoors, the bugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you see some pretty cool spiders?
Oh, yeah, there's big ones.
Okay, you know. Then I'm out.
But there's bug spray.
There's bug spray.
Okay, wait.
The spiders.
Brad?
Yeah, but spiders aren't that bad.
I have to ask you this. You're about how tall?
5'9".
5'9". Okay, and an average spider would be maybe about what? An inch at, like, the largest here in Michigan?
Sure.
So
they can jump.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Oh,
you are
thousands and thousands of times bigger than the spider, but yet you won't go anywhere near them.
That's because you're using the wrong size measurements. let me give you here the 1/12,000th of a lens that they use to get all 8. Of their eyes and all the little fangs.
Yeah.
It's that photo that ended it for me with spiders. You have that many eyes.
You've been bit by a mosquito before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's like getting bit by a spider.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Spiders make mosquitoes look cute.
Right.
No, I'm saying it's the same sting.
Spiders can kill you.
Not in Michigan.
Not in Michigan, they can't.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. There are no poisonous spiders in Michigan.
No, I think
they cannot survive. They cannot survive. It's too cold. The brown recluse cannot survive in Michigan.
No, they need
not in Michigan.
They need a warm climate.
Yeah. Spiders need a warm climate to survive. If they come to Michigan, they will not survive.
The only thing I was worried about was ticks.
Yeah.
Ticks are a legitimate
concern. That is a problem.
Yeah. And like the west coast, like the west side of, like, you know, the state, like Lyme disease is, like, kicking.
Yeah.
But that's why you bring a very lovely female along with you, and then you do a tick check every night.
It's true.
Yeah, you just wear pants, too.
That's taking away the fun, man.
Yeah.
I get it, but.
Yeah.
My mom freaked me out, too, about deer. Like, I was living in a place that.
Deer?
Yes, because deer. Because of ticks.
Oh,
we,
because of ticks.
Over a span of, like, 8 months or 12 months, we earned the trust of the family of deer. And, like, they kept getting closer. It's true. They would keep getting closer to get food.
Okay.
Until, like, one day, like, they were really close, and I told my mom, showed pictures, and my mom's like, well, you know they carry ticks, and I had my son with me, and I was just like, so then we started feeding them further away again.
Right.
But they will. If you feed them and they know, they'll come close.
Well, yeah.
I think that'd be cool to, like, feed them.
But what he was afraid of, I was afraid of for my son.
Okay.
But what were you going
to
say?
I think it'd be cool to, like, feed a deer right out of your hand.
Like, yeah. But that's why you do a tick check after, you know, it's really, really simple thing. You do a tick check, and if you catch the tick, then nothing's going to happen because they have to be in there for, like, days before anything actually occurs.
Get into all the folds. You got to really check it out.
Yeah.
I was only worried about it once. Like, we had, like, our you know, the bacon we brought, we put it in a dry bag with the steaks and the sausages, and we, like, when it started, like, thawing out, we put it in the river, right? So flowing water, keep it colder, right? But I had on a rope. I had it on a rope, and it came undone. and the dry bag started floating down the river. So I was running down the side of the river.
I was
stripping. I was taking my boots off. Everything. I got down to my boxes. I jumped in. I went down the river a little bit further and finally got the bacon. And it was good. It was safe. I mean, it was, you know.
Right.
I got the bacon. That was the main thing. But when I got back.
Barnes literally brought back the bacon.
I love that Barnes not scared of bears at all, but please, God, don't let us lose the bacon.
I had to hike like a good 3/4 of a mile back.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Okay.
Like in my boxers.
Right.
And mind you, like, there was people like in canoes, like watching me do this.
But you were by the river, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going. There's not going to be no ticks there.
No, but there's like a lot of grass and like there's just a lot of bugs.
Leeches though, you get leeches.
You can get well.
Get a leech on there.
On a flowing river like
remember
that.
Remember Stand By Me?
Yeah.
Well, you got to remember. Got though, the I had to hike the trail back. I didn't take.
Oh, I got gotcha. You. Know
I mean?
Okay.
So I was like, I was.
Keep you were in the woods.
He was like naked and afraid, but like in boxers. So.
Now, Liz.
Gotcha.
Quit saying in boxers. I keep hearing sploosh every time you say that.
I was going to say, as soon as you started stripping down, I saw both girls go, oh.
Yeah. Both girls went sploosh. That's what happened.
Now, Liz likes to claim she's outdoorsy, but advantage Barnes there.
That's just how she smells.
I see you doing that. Advantage Barnes.
She would let the bacon go.
Though.
Huh?
I said, I haven't been hiking. Well, I want to go hiking.
That's actually a question for you. Would you let the bacon go or would you go after it?
Bacon's not my favorite, so I mean...
There were steaks and sausage as well.
Steaks and sausage, though.
Steak, yeah. I would chase after.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good girl.
Steak,
right.
Yes.
Good girl.
Considering that's your only, you know, food.
No, there's if you're in the woods, there's food.
Now, what if you had gotten to the food and a bear had the food? You're in your boxers. You don't have your pistol on him.
I'd have to wrestle the bear.
You're goddamn right you wrestle the bear. That's my man right there.
You
You see Barnes coming out of the woods with like scratches all over him, a bear over his shoulder, bag of meat in his hand. Right?
I got dinner, and I got supper tomorrow.
Just be awkward if you were tubing and saw like just a bag of meat floating.
Right, and then a half naked dude running after it. You're like, hold on.
Like, as I was like running, like these canoers were going by, and they're just looking at me like, "What's this guy doing?" I'm running after this yellow bag. They don't know what's in it. It's just full of meat. Like,
and you're half naked.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they hear a
Because there would be the outdoorsy guy that would be like, check the meat for maggots. If not, we're taking that bag.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, check it for maggots. Nope. We're eating it.
Just cook it real good.
I mean, you know. But yeah, advantage Barnes.
Yeah.
I mean, you've not been hiking?
No. Game on.
I want to go hiking where there's like a zip line, though, because I really want to go ziplining.
Mm-hmm.
There's places in Michigan to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool.
I definitely want to do that soon.
So you want to go hiking and then go back and go on a zip line?
No, I want to do, like, a full-fledged, like, hiking.
So you want to walk to a place that has a zip line?
Well, what I'm saying is the places that have the zip lines are, like, they're kind of, like, touristy kind of places. So going hiking, you can't, like, go hike to, like, a really high place and then zip line back down. You'd have to do that as, like, two separate activities. Go hiking in the area and then one day also go to the zip line place.
Or maybe it could be really awesome, hike, find an awesome spot, and meet. Like, set up your own zip line.
I don't recommend that at all,
I could probably make that happen.
No, see, there are two things I don't recommend you ever do on your own. You should always have professionals do it. One is set up your bungee jump, and two is your zip line. Have professionals do that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I'm not so big on bungee jumping.
Back in the day.
Go skydiving, though. That's
fun. We already talked about
it. Skydiving, yes, because skydiving, if anything screws up, it's done and over with. I hit the ground, I'm dead. If the bungee's just a little too long, I smack the ground, I bounce back up. I smack the ground, I bounce back up. I smack the ground.
Yeah, but once you smack the ground, you're done.
You're done.
Because it's just like jumping off the bridge with no
cord. I don't know that it is. I think maybe you just kind of mess yourself up pretty badly.
Yeah.
Well, you can do it above water though.
Yeah,
it
you could do.
Have to be above.
Yeah,
well, that's much better. Hitting water at that speed is like hitting concrete.
Don't people
depends
die
on
like
how high you are though.
Yeah.
You have to be really
people
high.
Die like from falling off the Mackinac Bridge. Right?
Yeah,
Ambassador Bridge. Well, if you fall off
Ambassador Bridge. Yeah,
whatever.
It's like hitting concrete at that velocity.
And it's also like they and what usually happens there too is they go. They hit the surface tension of the water. That messes them up pretty bad. But then they shoot straight down. They get caught by a current or something.
Right, and then they get drowned.
And they get bashed against the rocks and stuff.
So
And the cars.
It's a great way to go. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a great way to go. I mean, if you have to choose your method,
no,
being bludgeoned to death in the water by rocks is definitely one to consider.
Mm. Well, I prefer to be shot by a jealous husband when I'm like 95. I mean, that's just me, though.
For rummaging through the trash?
Yeah, like,
no. 95, you'll have game?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Jimmy, you don't have game at 35. What makes you think you're going to have game at 95?
You know what? The older you get, the more you can get away with.
Experience, too, you know?
That's true. I didn't mean to touch you there. I don't know better. I'm old.
Honey, I couldn't see a thing.
Exactly.
But I felt something.
You're right. Those aren't my underwear. Sorry about that. Here, pack. All right. I don't know. We got to find David, go to our first break, and then we're going to have the wolf up next. Give us the name really quick.
Wolf
to Babadong.
To Babadong.
Yes.
We think.
He will be our guest, we believe.
We hope. It's going to be question number one when he comes in.
And
or when he gets on the line.
After the music break, he will be our guest, and we will continue the show on.
So. Yay!
Yay!
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Undercard, everybody. We're back, apparently. We can't hear anything.
Are we back?
Plus, we are, I don't know about all y'all, but that lasagna just hit my belly like a brick. So I'm ready for a nap and a poop.
We're gonna be
not in that order.
We're gonna be trying to call Wolf here in a few seconds and see if we can get that going. But let's move on to subjects here really quick. Bring Barnsley in on this. So the big thing going on right now is this battle between Floyd Mayweather and Ronda Rousey. Rousey goes out there and after winning the what is it? ESPN.
The ESPY. She won the ESPY Fighter of the Year, Best Fighter, whatever award. Yeah,
and she throws a shout out. You know, like, or not a shout out. It's really like an insult.
It was a dig. It was a beautiful dig.
Then there's another dig the other way. Blah blah blah. But we're not going to get into that as much as that. You know, the whole time we're trying to build the undercard. I'm saying the whole time the sports aren't too different. You know, that's why the show works. That it can be MMA and boxing. But that being said, the sports are very different. So, you know, this whole stupid thing going on right now with, like, would Floyd Mayweather beat Ronda Rousey? First off, the fight will never happen, so it doesn't matter. Why are we wasting time on something that will never happen? We should be talking about, will Ronda fight Cyborg next or something like that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we should be talking about the Kardashians.
No.
Okay.
No.
Did you see that epic
the news
meltdown?
Anger.
Yeah, that was awesome. I'm like, good for you.
So we're just contemplating stupid stuff, and here's what I would say. If my opinion matters, and it doesn't, Mayweather would beat her in boxing, she would beat him in an MMA fight.
Yep.
That's it.
I mean, obviously.
So then what they should do is have a chess match.
Right. If you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Or something.
Absolutely.
I pick Ronda.
Yeah, my money's still on Ronda in a chess match, but...
So, you know, Floyd's being hit with this. This is after these questions came after his press conference with Berto. So, like, it you know, people are huge into, like, knowing just kind of talking about it, right? Because MMA is at a certain point, and Floyd and Ronda are the biggest athletes in their two sports. So that's not even, like, when I hear this stuff and see it occupy like real fight news, it kind of makes me mad because it's just it's wasting. It's the thing where you get clicks on websites and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's to sell.
Right.
You know, Ronda says I'll beat him. Floyd says I beat her and stuff like that. So irrelevant. And then Floyd goes where we always go is that boxers make a lot more than UFC fighters. He says, why would I fight somebody for $100,000 when I make $100 million on a fight? And then it's one of those things where, well, Floyd, you could just take the high road and just not acknowledge it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have to acknowledge it. You're the greatest boxer currently. You don't have to acknowledge anything the MMA world does. And to tell you the truth, as big as Ronda is, Floyd's bigger. Just is. He's just absolutely a superstar. His numbers are bigger. This Birdo thing, a disaster.
His bank account is bigger.
Yeah. This Birdo thing, a disaster. It will still do better than any UFC has ever done.
Yeah.
And the numbers will be nowhere near what he's used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess Floyd could take the high road here for a little bit and just not say anything.
That's not his style, though.
Yeah, he won't do that.
I know, but it would be cool. Just once.
But he's not gonna. It speaks a lot to his personality that not only did he not keep quiet, but he immediately went to, well, I make more money. Like, that's a cop-out, right, if you ask me.
Well, he's already 1-0 against women, right? So.
Oh.
Yes!
I thought it was 2-0.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that second one was sanctioned.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, undefeated against chicks.
Yeah.
And then he was also in the news, too, because we got to bring this up. He ranks the top five fighters of all time.
Oh, my God.
People get mad that he puts himself first. First off, I want a fighter that puts himself first. If you're putting yourself second, third, fourth, or fifth, I don't want to manage you. I don't want to be with you. So I understand putting yourself first. And he puts Muhammad Ali fifth, Duran's in there and stuff like that. And people are getting on him. It's just an opinion. It's his opinion. No one knows.
And
we
on
don't
top
know.
Of it, it's a wonderful idea to market yourself because we're talking about it right now.
Right.
There's absolutely
thousands of other people, millions of other people talking about it, tweeting about it, so on and so forth. So it's working.
But the best part about it.
Names in their mouth.
Yeah. Best part about it, there's no wrong answer. There is.
No, of course not.
If Muhammad Ali's not even in your top five, I'm okay with that. You know, so he puts Whitaker in there, Duran's in there. I'm trying to think the fourth one he put in there. But and then Muhammad Ali's fifth.
Chavez, too, right?
Chavez.
Yeah, Chavez. Yeah. And everybody goes nuts about it. Why? It's just opinions. They're different times. You'll never really know.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes Muhammad Ali is considered the greatest of all time because he went around telling people he was the greatest
of all time.
I could see where Duran would be in there. Mm-hmm. I could see where Chavez, who didn't lose until, what, his 69th fight, or something like that.
I think
maybe
I thought it was like 80 and okay, or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Something crazy.
Something ridiculous. Yeah.
He should be considered too. So
yeah.
So then everybody's like, you know, ESPN runs with it on the ESPN.go.com and everybody's like, oh, look at this and look at Floyd picking himself first. Byron, you're a boxer.
You always pick yourself first.
Exactly. If you believe in yourself.
You have to. I mean, like, you can't be unconfident in the sport. If you have no confidence, you're not going anywhere. People think it's cockiness, but you know what you do in the gym, you know what you do outside the gym, and you know how you perform. So you should have all the confidence in the world.
All right. Well, we'll finish up our last thought on here, and then we're going to try calling the wolf. But really quickly, too, Floyd Mayweather, though, gave the best quote I've seen him give since I've covered boxing. He was talking about MMA fighters and why he makes so much money, and he summed it up perfectly. He said that somehow he was dealt a royal flush. I believe that. I believe we'll never see this phenomenon happen again. I really don't. I think people will get close, but this whole Floyd Mayweather domination thing, the perfect record, everything like that, he really was dealt. Everything could not go better for Floyd, and it did. And if he ends with Birdo, he walks away at 49-0. If he comes back and fights a 50th fight and wins that, he walks away at 50-0. In my books, he's a top 10 fighter of all time. He's not probably in my top five, but he dominated the way he should. And these people say that he ran away and maybe he should have fought Pacquiao more in his prime, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. Even Barnes would admit, one of the greatest fighters of all time.
Yeah.
Just defensive fighter of all time. Probably best defensive fighter of all time. But he summed it up perfectly. He was dealt a royal flush.
Sure.
The Oscar De La Hoya fight started something that is crazy. Just think about it. And people are mad that he's fighting Birdo. And I can understand that. But he's probably earned it a little bit. If this is a swan song and he wants to go out with Birdo, that's fine. If he was to step up maybe the level of competition and fight somebody else, that would be fine too. I mean, Barnes, what do you think about it? He's earned it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm actually, as much as I don't like Floyd, I'm actually really happy that it is the way it is. Because when he does leave, you know, the spotlight's still going to be on boxing.
Yep.
But now, instead of just having a superstar, you're going to have so many other fighters right now that should be a superstar. They're getting there, but not yet, because Floyd's in that spotlight, right? When he steps out, I think, you know, that spotlight's going to, you know, it's going to be on everybody. You know what
right.
I mean? It's not just him. It's going to be more like the, I don't want to say UFC, because when you think of UFC, you think of Ronda. But if you take Ronda out of the photo, you know, like, you see a little, you know, everyone's there.
Right.
But, okay, so hold on a second. Let's go back to what you said a few minutes ago about being confident and cocky or whatever. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that the you're saying that he's earned it, this, you know, kind of going out easy with the Birdo fight. How is that? How is that?
I don't know about earning that.
Well, what are you talking about? Then he earned what?
I think he earned it.
Earned what?
To pick whoever he wants his last fight.
An easy fight? No.
But I mean,
not that.
People have said, but if you can agree that it's going to be an easy fight, how does that?
They've all been easy for him.
But how does that?
I mean, he's earned his spotlight. I don't mean his next fight. The next fight, I'm not even going to watch. So how does that?
But that's what I'm saying. So how does that?
Well, Mark's asking is how does he get away with calling himself the greatest boxer of all time? And also take a really easy fight as a swan song.
Because I think some education's going on in his camp. Here's the thing. Floyd's always cared what people think. You can't live the rest of your life that way, right? So you pick Birdo, which people are going to disagree with, and you learned the rest of your life as you walk around, people are going to say you didn't fight Pacquiao in your prime. You're not Muhammad Ali.
Right.
It's a way to grow as an individual and then to block that other stuff out, to believe what you believe. So if he wants to fight Birdo, even though that's
I don't get that. I don't understand. I don't understand the logic.
I don't think
that
he should fight Birdo either. But he definitely deserved his spotlight. Period. He's been pro for how long now? Almost 20 years. Yep. Or something. He won a world title. I think a year after he turned pro.
Yep. Retired, came back.
Yeah, exactly. And then six weight classes
once a year,
or something like that
for a while. I mean, how difficult would it be to fight once a year?
It'd be ridiculous.
And he did it, and he looked like it was nobody's business. It was just like, hey, you know, that's just how I fight. I fight once a year. I'm just saying that everybody, for Floyd to grow as a human, he has to sit back and say that, you know what, the rest of my life people are going to come to me if I'm in an autograph show, if I'm at a diner, wherever, and they're going to say you're not the best of all time. And you can let that bother you, or you can just think you're the best of all time. So I think this Birdo thing's kind of training that. It's like, I'm going to do what I want. I fought Canelo arguably in his prime. He's probably more in his prime now.
Yeah.
I gave everybody the Pacquiao fight, and Pacquiao looked horrible, whether he had an arm injury or not. Nobody's been able to figure me out. He's earned it to do whatever he wants. In this whole top five thing where people are making a big deal about it, it's all opinions. That's the great thing about the undercard. It's all opinions. It's not...
Even if he did fight all those people in their actual prime, like I would still say Tommy Hearns in his prime beats him.
Tommy Hearns.
Yeah, so no matter what, you would never see that matchup. You know, obviously it's just too far apart. But,
right.
You know.
Yeah, so, I mean, do 90% of boxing enthusiasts probably have him? Number one, no. I mean, they probably have somebody that is not Floyd Mayweather, but as it's really what Floyd Mayweather believes as he is beginning – what will be for sure his last year in the sport, whether he comes back for the 50th in May next year or what. This is definitely his last year. And you know what? He still sells papers. He still sells pay-per-views. He still sells everything. And, you know, he will be involved in the sport somehow. It might be his downfall, actually. He might be too involved in the sport and lose the money he has. I don't know, you know.
I would love that.
I know you would.
I don't think
he is.
He's going to walk away?
No, I mean, I don't know. Not a lot of people that I've seen, you know, in Birmingham with Ferraris and Porsches and stuff like that. I never see him with paper plates. And I see all of his with paper plates. I don't know. I'm just saying that all of his fighters – hold on. All of his fighters have Dodges, okay? And that's the – there was a TV show. A guy in Vegas had the biggest Dodge dealership or whatever, right? And all of his – you guess where he gets his cars from, his exotic cars? The same guy owns that. I feel like he has a deal worked out where, like, hey, you know, I'll drive your cars. I'll tell everybody I got my cars from here. Only a couple of his cars have, like, actual plates on them. Like, take a look at the 24/7. Like,
yeah.
There's no way he has $4 million in his garage, you know, four Bugattis. People don't do that.
Right. Or and live to have that money to spend.
No, because you know how much it costs, like, to upkeep a Bugatti?
Right.
It's ridiculous. It's like it's like more than 50 grand a year.
To upkeep it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I swear.
See, I'm such not a car guy. I don't even know that. These private jets, though, he's probably paying for that.
Yeah, like a timeshare or something like
that. Yeah,
right. But most of those guys like $12,000 a trip or something.
I mean, I'm sure on top of that, I'm sure his promotional company does that. So I'm sure there's more tax write-offs. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff you can do to offset the cost.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not just out of pocket, you know? I mean, he makes his girlfriend sign contracts. If they leave, they give that shit back.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a genius.
Exactly. That's genius. You can't even be mad at that. That is like pure genius.
No, I think you can be mad at that. That's the first I'd heard that. That is by far the douchiest thing I've ever heard.
Now, this is all just stuff I've read.
Like, when I thought that Floyd Mayweather could not be a bigger douche, Barnes just told me that.
Or it's smart.
How is it smart? That is the douchiest thing I've ever heard.
Because then you're getting women that aren't in it for the money, because if we don't work out, at the end, you got to
turn
everything
in. You're making a girl sign a contract.
Absolutely.
To be your girlfriend.
But he's a boxer who came from jokingly.
She's a girlfriend. She has no claim to his stuff. Like, he gave her gifts, and now he's going to say, give me that stuff back?
But he's a fighter that came from the streets of Grand Rapids, didn't have anything. And the only thing that ever mattered to him was a contract in which he got paid. So if he leans on a contract, I understand that. I really do.
I rarely ever say this, but I agree with Marv.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I agree with Marv, because if you are in a relationship, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a boxer. I don't care if you're a CEO. I don't care if you're Joe Schmo that's living, you know, in a van down by the river. If you get into a relationship, if you get into a relationship and you buy something for your significant other, it's because you want to give them something because it means something. What he's doing there is saying, no matter what I give you, it's meaningless. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't work out, I'm taking it right back again. So you don't have any meaning to me. This stuff doesn't have any meaning to me. The whole thing is just, you know, it's meaningless for me.
No,
which I think
agree.
Is just horrible.
Absolutely, absolutely agree. Absolutely. But you know what? At the same time, people don't have relationships like 12 girls at once.
Well, that's true, too. So. That's the other thing, too, is you got to kind of, you know.
But, you know, they're all girls that work for them, like massage girls.
No, I understand that. So I understand
that. It's kind of like you get a company car. You know, if you leave the company,
If you're talking about I'm working for Floyd Mayweather and he gives me a gift and then I leave him to go work somewhere else, yeah, absolutely,
well,
you're going to give that back.
Yeah,
I'm talking about girlfriend.
If he provides her with a car.
Kind of mix.
Yeah, they're
well,
yeah,
so.
But if
they
if
really
he,
shouldn't.
If he drops a diamond bracelet on her because, you know, he wants to do a nice thing for her, and then, like, they don't work out, and he's like, well, you signed this contract that said I got to get that tennis bracelet back.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to our first guest. We're going to call up the Wolf
douche
here.
Douche nozzle.
MMA amateur undefeated fighter. We're going up to the Great White North.
Yeah, I looked at the area code. I'm like, where the hell is this?
He's from Canada?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Wow. I didn't know Canada had fighters. They're always so polite.
They have Adonis Stevenson.
Hello. Are you there, Wolf?
Yes.
Hey, very good. We were joking around. Your name is tough to pronunciate. Jimmy thinks he has it down. Give him what you think.
To Babadong?
Okay, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. I'm going to grade you from 1 to 10 on your pronunciation of this.
All right. Well, all right. So, Jimmy, go with yours.
To Babadong.
Okay. I think to Babadong.
Not bad. I'll give you guys a bolt because I like you guys already. I'll give you 8 out of 10.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. So, what is it?
And that's pretty damn good. Not gonna lie.
So how do you pronounce it then?
Well, actually, you guys are basically bang on. It's to Babadong.
Oh, so that's perfect.
Yeah. See, Jimmy was saying
at the end.
Yeah, Jimmy was saying dong.
Usually, you get a to Babadong, and people usually cough at the end of it. You know,
oh, yeah. Now, does it mean anything? Like, does it like a you know? I mean, it's sounds like a native word or something. Does it mean?
Yeah. It's actually of Ojibwe heritage,
okay.
And it's an Anishinaabeg last name.
Gesundheit.
And it actually, what it means, it actually means, from what I know, it's actually, the analogy of it is to like to see, a sun rising in the distance.
Oh.
Yeah. So whatever
man.
You can take from that, but that's about as much dirt on that I got on it. So.
That's cool.
Well, what we can take from it is your career. You're an amateur MMA star who's undefeated, and you're a rising star in MMA. A lot of people are talking about you because of your flair, if I may say, or your pizzazz in the MMA ring.
My Kamehameha?
Yes, your Kamehameha.
Yep, and you're howling. I was reminded by Ring Girl Liz that you howled like a wolf in the ring. You're a very entertaining fighter and stuff like that. So tell us how you got into MMA.
Yeah, well, I guess like any other fighter, you know, like I kind of fell into it as a kid. I was bullied, you know, and just wanted to learn to be able to defend myself. And growing up as a kid, I loved Dragon Ball Z, you know, and it was a big inspiration and motivation for me to pursue martial arts. Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, Jet Li, you know, Donnie Yen, was always fascinated with it. And then when I was 15, I actually got my ribs kicked in and broken pretty bad. And then after that, I kind of told myself I really didn't want that to happen again. So I pursued, you know, standing up for myself, and I moved to the city, and I was in about 6 or 7 street fights as a kid. And I ended up fighting bullies at other schools and stuff like that. And one day when I was like 16 or 17, someone was like, man, you should be in the UFC. And I was like, ha, 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 yeah, not really. You know, kind of pass it off a little bit. And then 18 years old, I moved to Bracebridge, Ontario, and I found recreational martial arts. And yeah, the rest is history, I guess.
Now, when you say move to a city, because we know that you are from Canada and stuff, but you're a long way up in Canada. Like, how big is the city we're talking about? Is it like...
Well, I'm in the Muskokas. I live in some of the smaller municipalities of Muskoka. Parry Sound and Bracebridge. Parry Sound has a population of like 7,000. Bracebridge is around like 20,000. But I'm only like maybe 180 clicks away from Toronto. So it's... compared to Toronto, like, basically, I'm just living in, like, one of the smaller towns, but it has everything I need. You know, it's really central. Where I'm staying right now, the reservation I come from is only, like, an hour north, and then Toronto's only, like, an hour and a half south. So I can commute. You know, it's pretty central, so I can get best of both worlds where I come from.
Now, obviously, living in a town that small, you have to travel for MMA. You traveled to Michigan. What's the furthest you've traveled to have an MMA fight or train?
Oh, well, I love Michigan. I love mixed martial arts in the States, especially at, you know, semi-pro amateur level, because, you know, you can utilize a lot more tools, you know, a lot more things go kind of in Ontario. Some of that shit doesn't really fly. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to swear.
Oh, that's all right.
But no, the farthest I think I've gone was maybe about, I think, Alma, Michigan.
Okay.
Alma?
Oh, Alma's fine town.
Yeah. So maybe about, it was like, crazy storm happening that day, you know, there were like cars in the ditch, just mad snowstorm. So I think about what we spent on the day on that road, probably about 12 hours on the road just trying to get down there.
Oh, wow.
Well, but I mean you're, so I looked up the area you said, so you're outside Algonquin Provincial Park.
So
the snowstorms that they get in Alma, Michigan is like a dusting where you're
it's a dusting. We have like sometimes you can't even see houses. When you're walking on the sidewalk,
Now, you're talking about coming to Michigan and stuff like that, and obviously for reasons of travel and stuff, not all your friends and family can come. Is it like always like an away game, always an away match for you? Are you always against the town favorite?
Yeah, I don't know. My trainer, he's Bill Quinn, and we kind of, you know, like he puts my name out there, and you know, we at this level, I guess I'm fighting the top guys in Michigan, but I'm usually fighting the hometown favorite. And I'm usually sometimes they're a little dodgy. I don't really know 100% on who I'm fighting. Sometimes, you know, like the record they tell me is a little off, or, you know, like, but it's just the politics. But regardless, you know, like, I have enough on the guy who I'm fighting that, you know, I kind of know what I'm getting myself into, and, I'm pretty confident on wherever the fight goes. So, but yeah, it's usually the hometown favorite I'm fighting. But regardless, you know, coming from Canada, fighting in the States, you know, and there's so many little organizations in Michigan that, you know, that promote mixed martial arts. So,
and being a Canadian fighter, like, Canadians have a reputation for being very polite, and like, so I get the idea. Like when do you apologize after every time you hit a guy? Like, you're like,
I'm sorry. Are you okay? I'm sorry. Yeah. It kind of happens like that sometimes.
See, I would believe because of their medicine and their hospitals, they're more.
Yeah. You know, and being an Anishinaabek warrior, you know, one of the legitimate Canadians. Actually started drop some tobacco after the fight too. You know, I kind of take my apologetic side to the next level when that happens.
Well, we've enjoyed watching you. If people want to find you on and follow your career, do you have a fan Facebook page, or where can people follow you, Wolf?
Yeah, well, I got JT the Wolf Tababadung it's a little bit of a tongue twister, like, right? We already went over that. But, you know, JT the Wolf on YouTube. And then JT the Wolf, it should pop up. I have a Facebook page, and I kind of like, you know, I like bringing just up-to-date mixed martial arts news all around, you know, political issues, world issues. You know, I like, you know, it's not just a site incorporated just to strictly mixed martial arts. I like to give everyone a little taste of everything. But, yeah, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look me up on YouTube. And, yeah, if there's anything else, you can always give me a shout.
Political issues. You follow the House of Commons up there too often? Or what?
Yeah, it's – I don't abide by politics at all, but, you know, like, they always come up, and I'm like, I have 2 cents, I guess, I can put in to, you know, like some of the stuff going on in the world today. But, you know, but realistically, my religion is, you know, Mother Nature, and we're all part of this world together. So
that's sweet.
I like it.
How crazy do you guys think that we might have another Bush running versus another Clinton? Like, from a Canadian's point of view, what do you guys even think about that? I mean, you have to talk about it.
Yeah, it's
you guys just laugh at us, right? Let's be honest. You just laugh at us, right?
Yeah. No. Not gonna say. You know, like it's kind of like you just kind of had to wait for it to happen. I think it kind of goes without saying. It's like, God damn, you know, like,
that's what we say too. Yeah, we have to vote.
Do those stupid Americans ever learn their lesson?
Exactly. You know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you follow politics a little bit, and I the one thing I know that Canadians do follow American politics and stuff like that. If you could make a prediction, what do you guys see? Is it going to be a Bush? Is it going to be a Clinton? Is it going to be a third party candidate? What do you think is going to happen?
Sanders.
Give us a prediction.
Well,
Sanders.
Maybe a third party.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's what I'm talking about. As long as that third party is not,
you know, democracy, 100%.
All right.
All right.
See that?
Yeah.
You think there's a future in politics after you get done with your fighting career?
Yeah. Well, actually, in my family, on my mother's side, we actually have lineages of chiefs that actually run my who actually lead my reservation, and that's Wabanungs of there's a few of us in the family that have been chiefs, but I can see myself as, like, you know, I'm kind of like the vagabond, like running away from the. I'm no heir at all, but I think later on in life, if I was to be able to put that position, I think I definitely could lead my people. And, you know, but right now my mission is to just, you know, create change and inspire. Like, I want to bring something new to the face of MMA, and my journey has led me away from home, and I miss them, and, you know, they're behind me 100%. Right now, the main goal is just crack down and wait on my, because, like, at the end of the year, I hope to go pro at the end of this year. I'm long overdue, you know, dealing with a few injuries here and there, but, mixed martial arts, I don't like to think that too far ahead, you know, but MMA is my future, and I think that's how I'm gonna change the world.
Wow. Very good. And I said to people that are sitting at this table, you know, more important than talent is that it factor, and you have it. You have the charisma to carry people. You know, you have that ability that would make a Bellator or UFC down the road want to sign you. We wish you all the best and stuff. We'll stay in touch because we've been trading Facebook and stuff. We want to follow your career and everything like that. And we will have you on before you make your pro debut, okay?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I guess just down the road for September 11th, we have the WFC 60 coming up, and I'm fighting my first drop to 145 against Dominic Carter.
Oh, nice.
We're really excited for that.
Very cool.
And we will be there for that, too. So you take care, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Well, thank you so much for having me. The Undercard Michigan, you guys are a bunch of gems, you know, and I give you a I'll probably give you guys a 9 now and say my last name because you guys are so badass.
Oh, sweet. Yes, we're moving up.
Wolf, you are such a politician. Look at you, like, closing out the stump speech, man. You are a politician. All right, man. I will talk to you soon.
Okay, guys, enjoy the rest of your show. Thank you once again for having me. One love, Dragon Ball Z, #. And, yeah, and then keep in touch, and we'll hopefully look to get together down the road.
All right, you take care. Cool. Jimmy, give us the name again there.
Wolf to Babadong.
Yeah, you got to need that.
Yeah, you got to put a little stank on the end of it. Yeah.
No,
to Babadong. I really hope if he ever makes it back to Michigan that we get to go oot and a boot in his boot.
Right.
Yep.
The it factor is very important.
Yeah.
Ben Askren doesn't have the it factor. Dana White won't sign him to UFC. Probably one of the best fighters I've ever seen, but his fights are boring.
And the most unfortunate name
in MMA. The thing is, you got to have that it factor. Wolf has it. When people are watching him, when he came to the ring or the cage, all eyes were on him. He was entertaining and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You have to have that. Like, it's got to be somewhere mingled in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that this is going to sell me.
It's entertainment, right?
Right, exactly. I mean,
at the end of the day, it's entertainment.
Right. So he's definitely got that. So it was great to have him on here. Rochelle, who do we have joining us right now?
We have Kendra Nichols.
Hey, yay!
We weren't sure if you were coming, so we didn't announce you earlier in the show.
No problem.
But Kendra, you are royalty right now. Tell everybody what you are.
I am. I am today's American Woman, Classy Mrs. for 2015. I just won my title on June 20th in Greenville, South Carolina. So I am from Michigan. I live in Owosso.
Oh.
Everyone always says, where is that? But it's between Flint and Lansing.
Just up 127.
It's mm-hmm. almost directly between Flint and Lansing, about 11 miles off of I-69 there.
Yeah. So. I've been in parades that I rode a little mini motorcycle through a bar.
Oh, That's interesting. I've never seen that.
Marv, I want to see a picture of you on a mini motorcycle right now.
I don't believe there are any, but we don't allow pictures during those events.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
You got – well, anyway.
Oh, boy.
Owosso is a fine town.
That is one
they
attraction.
They treat us very well.
Good. That is one attraction I have not taken any visitors to. The mini motorcycle.
So tell us about the title. How does one become that, and what are the requirements? And
sure, we had the pageant, like I said, in Greenville, South Carolina, and basically it consists of an interview, a panel style interview. Then you also have fashion wear, evening gown, and basically today's American Woman is to just inspire others and let them know to give back to their community. And that's one opportunity that I've really embraced. And I have to be honest with you, this was a unique experience to be able to help out at the last event that all of you
TFC.
Had. Yes, it was unique for me in the fact that I have not attended very many. But I can tell you, I know that you were just talking to Wolf on the phone, and I was actually super excited because he is one that was memorable to me. And I think mm-hmm. it had to do all the way from his beginning presentation mm-hmm. all the way to the cage. And That was exciting. He really put on a show from start to finish.
Yeah, you were thrown in a unique situation in which you didn't
literally,
know a lot about.
Literally, she was just like thrown into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you didn't know a lot about MMA, and then you by the second interview, you were rocking it and stuff like that. So you have a lot of experience in pageants, I would assume, because you were able to pick it up soon. What's your pageant resume, I guess?
Sure. I am a former Mrs. Michigan Universal Dream in 2012. And as many people probably don't know, there are many other pageant systems. I was able to be Mrs. Michigan American Beauty in 2013. And then one of my bigger titles actually was Mrs. Michigan Galaxy in 2014. So I've been busy being able to promote different titles, but it's allowed me the opportunity to explore my, you know, extend my platform.
Mm-hmm.
Being healthy heart, healthy you.
When did you start doing pageants?
My first pageant was in high school, actually. So it wasn't the younger toddlers and tiaras kind of everyone always thinks of toddlers and tiaras, but
4 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. But that a lot of that actually is ratings for television. I have met some of them, individuals that have been on that show, actually through the Today's American Woman system. So that was exciting, but both able for me to see both sides of mm-hmm. of it as well.
Jimmy and I have been thrown out of many pageants, so
I could see you, not so much.
Well, he was kind of guilty by association.
Kendra, this is Marv, by the way. You did not have the pleasure of meeting him at the event.
No, I don't. I don't do events. They don't pay me
it's
enough.
Not, right? It's not in this contract.
They have a Today's American Man now. There's you could always sign up for that.
Well, Barnes.
Hey. I think it would be unfair
like,
to the other contestants if I were to get in on that.
You do.
I really do. I think it's obvious that I would be winning constantly. So
you may have to dance in front of some people too. Would you be embarrassed to dance?
Not an issue whatsoever. One of my favorite things to do is dance. So.
We'll see. There's a future for you right there.
No,
you know what? I quit the undercard. That's it.
You could give back to your community.
There it is. Well, tell us more about that. So how does one give back to the community through pageantry?
Sure. My platform is Healthy Heart, Healthy You. My dad actually passed away at the age of 38. He was only 38 from a massive heart attack. So we didn't have any warning of of any kind. And that's really been my platform, is to be able to tell others, you know, get out, get your heart screenings. And this has just allowed me an opportunity to do that. There are so many pageant systems out there, though, that you just, it really is about finding the right one for you. The USA systems, Miss America systems. One of my personal friends won Miss America in 2011, Teresa Scanlon. Nice. And we had the opportunity to travel to Haiti over Christmas and New Year's. And then I enjoyed the experience of volunteering in the orphanage so much that I went back with my sister the following year. So there's so many opportunities. It's not just about, let's
get
pretty and dance around.
All these other systems that you're talking about, like the Miss Michigan Galaxy, the Miss Michigan... I just said a couple of them. Now, do they all feed into, like, the big one? Or is there, like, all completely different systems?
They are mostly all completely different ones.
Okay.
However, you will have your MAO preliminaries, which would be the Miss America organization is MAO. Those ones will feed in, your prelims will feed into your main Miss America, and then you also have your USA systems that will have all of your
So it's not like you have to win one of those systems in order to compete in, like, Miss America or Miss Michigan or anything like that.
You do have to win your prelim in order, and then your state as well, and then from state to nationals. It just depends on your system if they have a prelim in your area.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Donald Trump, we were just talking about him. He made the news, and you kind of answered the question. You
made the news.
Yes.
Brad is the king of the understatement. So have you heard of this Trump guy? I don't know if you guys know, if you've heard anything about him.
No. I'm going somewhere with it, but you got me off track now. And I think she's going to answer it the way she just answered your last question. But so Donald Trump had to step down from, was he running Miss USA or Miss America?
He was Miss America.
He owns Miss USA.
Right.
Miss America.
That's right.
Those
Miss
are
USA,
two separate
right.
ones. He does. And the Miss Universe system
so he,
as well.
He kind of had to distance himself because of comments he made. But then I read an article that said that maybe we're past the time of pageants anyways because of feminism and stuff like that. Defend pageants. Why should they continue on in modern day? Because this article was an article that was saying, forget Donald Trump, we should be past pageants anyways.
Sure. I think you'll always find the noise that says, you know, you shouldn't do pageants, or I think you could probably compare that to fighting. Maybe people would say, oh, we shouldn't have that as a sport. I really think it comes down to what does it mean to you and what are you going to do with it? And like I said, for me, I make it a personal platform. This gives me an awesome opportunity to be able to say, hey, you know, you can only be 38 years old and pass away from a massive heart attack if you're not, taking care of yourself.
That scares me.
I'm 38, and so it's Brad. That
exactly.
kind of
freaks
me out.
And I'll be turning that this year.
And but we just ate a bunch of
yeah, that's what I'm just
4 pounds
of cheese. We're all 38 on this side of the table.
When we get done, we're all going to run around the block.
Yeah. Oh, honey, I don't think so.
You can walk if you want.
Oh, I don't think. You weren't here when we talked about the bricks that are in our stomach.
Oh, no. Yeah, just and doing something, maybe walking a little farther when you go get your groceries, encouraging people just to take those extra steps because...
Oh, I have those delivered. You can order them right online from Amazon. You never have to leave the living room.
So in regards to the Trump question that you were asking, I really think that, like I said, it really comes down to the personal meaning for you and what does it mean to you.
Right.
What are you going to do with your title? You can go out and win a crown. You can go out, and get the sash and say, I'm this. But at the end of the day, what did you do with it? Did you get out and exercise it? Because a lazy crown's not going to do you any good.
Now, is there a backup in case you are unable to fulfill your duties?
Like, is there a runner-up?
They have runners-up in the system, absolutely.
That was my most fascinating part, like, because they always set it up as, that's how they would announce it. They would do the runner-up, and they'd be like, if not able to fulfill the duty, the runner-up steps
Correct.
Up.
Right.
So, like, for a casual observer, I was always like, wow, I always thought of ways
You
that,
were paying
like,
attention. That's
Well, yeah, just thinking of ways that the runner-up might still be bitter and try to
sure.
get
Miss Congeniality. Sure. We've all seen the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, that stuff happens. And you wonder how many accidents occur to the winner by the runner-up.
That's a question.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, does it get, brutal like that? Is there cattiness? Like, is there, sabotage going on
Little pushes like, down
like,
the stairs.
Well, anything. I mean, like, you know, trying to create a wardrobe malfunction or anything like that. I mean, like, does that...
It honestly does happen. I think there's more things in place as far as security and that sort of thing. But for the most part, I mean, when you join a pageant, if you are joining the right one, it really is a sisterhood. And there are lasting friendships that come from those. And I think that's really, at the end of the day, what you need to take away from it.
Sure.
So that's what it is for me.
But, I mean, sometimes you're still kind of like, bitchish.
Well, I think you find that if you go to the grocery store. So.
You got the zucchini I wanted.
This person needs to hurry up.
So you're kind of in your playing days, but there's more money in coaching, right? If you were to coach somebody to be better in pageants, there's more money in that, right?
There could be if you chose to make a business of that. There's a couple younger girls that I've decided to coach. I've started with the younger girls, and I really find a deeper passion with them to coach the younger ones on just walking. And
younger how old?
They'd probably be the junior teenage.
Okay.
My niece actually is the reigning Miss Great Lakes American U.S. Princess, and she's a former Little Miss Michigan.
Okay.
So I've had a ton of fun just kind of introducing her to that, and she's gotten a taste of what pageantry is all about. And we talk about, you know, when you win this title, we need to exercise it. It's and so that she'll continue to spread the message
right.
too.
That's good.
Now, has Asawa put you on a sign?
Owasso.
Owasso. There we go.
Asawa? He was trying.
Do you have that sign at the welcome station? I don't know,
dude. Home of Kendra,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Actually, Owasso is a very historic town, so there actually is a sign that says "Welcome to Historic Owasso." But they're very gracious in the fact that Ben Frederick is our current mayor, and we've done a lot of events together. So if he has something upcoming, he's, "Hey, Kendra, come and join me for this," and so that's kind of neat to get personal.
But you're
calls
not on
the
sign
the
yet. You don't have a sign underneath. Have you? You've driven into a city where it says "Home of Miss." Such
oh
and
sure,
such.
Sure.
We gotta get you on a sign.
Maybe I need to talk to Mayor Ben.
Yeah, we need to make this happen.
Start a grassroots campaign.
Where's your key to Owasso?
Here's the thing. Like I said, I've been to Owasso. We could probably just go nail up a sign. I mean, it's a wonderful town, but I don't know that there's that much politics like there would be around here. I think we could just go, "Hey, can we put this sign here?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, that's actually a pretty good idea."
We have some gracious sponsors in the area. Sponsorships, though, in the area. Patsy Lou, which is the All-American Corners right there in Flint, Michigan. They've been a very gracious sponsor. Rugged Liner, they've been one of my sponsors. They just really stand behind me, and they're actually on the back of my business card. So each time that I go places, I'm able to advertise for them, too. And so anyone that's listening out there, that's one way to get your name out there, but then also find a sponsorship to help you.
Is pageantry like your main thing? You have another like job you do on the side?
I do. I'm actually a small business owner as well. I own a lawn and snow business. When people look at me, they wouldn't think that I drive a nice big dump truck. So
okay,
I enjoy
awesome.
That.
That's
so fun.
Awesome.
Right?
Somebody's got to do it.
Do you do it ever in your dress?
I have it. Do you think I should try that?
Yes.
How is there not a picture of that?
I'll have to see what I can do.
Absolutely.
Just for you, Rochelle.
You absolutely need to be like getting
that's
in
your cover
dump truck.
Photo.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll see what I can do. My next assignment, just for you.
What was the question you got at the, you know, the question part for the pageants? What was the question you were given?
Oh, goodness. There's lots of questions.
Well, how about the last one?
See, I only watch the pageants on TV where they give one question.
Okay. I could tell you, I mean, that one was just, why do you want to be the next Today's American Woman? And I've pretty much told you that. But I could tell you the most original question that I've had, and that is, would you prefer to be an artificial houseplant or a real houseplant? And I was really thrown off by that.
Yeah.
How would you answer that?
Artificial, live forever.
Well, but you're not alive. I would say...
That's the most original question I've ever been asked.
But then are you a replicant?
Well, yeah. Well, then you'd have to have a test, right? And see if my pupil dilated and everything. I don't... Would I rather be an artificial or a live plant?
Artificial. Doo-doo,
stay beautiful forever.
Zach? You're taking too long. Come on.
I never claimed to be. I would want to be a live plant because
you would actually grow
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I would grow and I would spread my leaves and my vines would go.
We could trim Marv too.
Yeah, you could trim me down. What was your answer?
I related it to something back to me. I enjoy the sunshine, so I said that I would prefer to be a real houseplant, set me out in the sun, that kind of
thing. Nice, okay.
You want to relate it back to something personal about you to try to steer that question to get them to know just one more thing about you.
Gotcha.
You only get about 5 minutes. 5 minutes to make a big difference.
That's so, okay. Me and really Barnes get them look real shallow. So that's all right.
Well...
We like it, though.
I'm a fighter. I'm allowed to.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're going to go to our last music break, and we're going to come back. Jimmy, we talked about a guest that works with charity, so we'll have you talking with them, too.
Okay.
All right, so we'll go to our last music break here.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
How much time did you and Jimmy spend together before you proposed? About 5 hours.
Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
The lasagna episode, we are continuing, if you've been listening to the music breaks, we're continuing with The Undercard, Summer of Love, 2015 theme.
Summer.
Yes. Well, you know what I'm saying.
It's a joke
between us. Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Coming up, I was talking about this earlier in the episode. On Sunday, my cousin, who I'm very good friends with, her son's friend, his name is Sam Silverstein. Him and some of his friends started this charity group. It's called Laughter is the Cure to Life. And they were having a talent show basically in his backyard in Huntington Woods. They sold over 100 tickets. It's $5 a piece. They also did, people donated and stuff like that. And they raised over $1,000. I know they've done a couple of other things. So we're going to have him on the air. And he's going to talk about the group, how he got started, and all that kind of stuff. So can we call Sam? Yep.
I'm from Huntington Woods. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't remember the street that it was on. But if you were in the neighborhood, you would have heard it.
So, okay. I mean, I'm sure he'll talk about this, but like if they do like comedy shows and stuff to raise them.
Hi, Sam. This is Jim Pache with The Undercard. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good.
We're on with Sam Silverstein from the group Laughter is a Cure to Life. Sam, I was telling everybody about the talent show on Sunday. It was a great show. It was put literally, that is your house, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that is your house. We were in the backyard. How many people, do you know what the grand total of people that were there was?
Well, we sold around 180 tickets.
Okay.
We set up like 180 chairs, and then it seemed like there was a good amount of people still standing, so I think we definitely broke 200.
Yep, nice. I agree. There were a lot of people in that backyard, and it was a really good show. So why don't you tell us how, like, a little bit about you, how you got started, how this group came about?
Yeah, for sure. So I guess the way everything started is we kind of, like you said, the name of the show is Laughter is the Cure to Life, and we wanted to create something that we could bring entertainment to people. Doing something better for the world and kind of creating something that had more of a purpose than just comedy and just entertainment, which is sort of how, you know, the whole Laughter is the Cure to Life thing was born. And then I guess we kind of, so the show itself is like, it's like an hour-long live comedy show with, you know, juggling, comedy, video, music, all tied into like a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of how the whole thing got started, is we just wanted to like, we wanted to do something that would have more of an impact on the world, I guess.
Okay. And then at what point in time did you decide, because the money goes to Mott's Hospital for the cancer kids, correct?
Yes, yeah, correct.
Okay. Was that decided like right off the bat that that's where the money was going to go, or how did that come about?
We sort of wanted to do something that we felt like everyone could relate to some way or another.
Okay.
And we felt that cancer, especially, you know, childhood cancer, is something that everyone's been, you know, affected by, whether it's directly, indirectly. So we kind of wanted to move towards that direction where we could have an event that everyone, you know, would feel relatable, that they would feel comfortable coming out, supporting, and kind of feel good donating to.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the reason that we chose MOD is my senior year of high school, my football team took a trip to the hospital.
Okay.
And during that during the hospital tour, the guy kind of took us around, showed us the hospital, and excuse me, he kind of mentioned how a lot of these kids are stuck in the hospital for weeks up until years.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, you know, I had no idea we were even gonna, you know, I wasn't even doing comedy at the time. But once we created the show, looking back at that moment kind of stuck out to me as something we really wanted to have an impact on and help out with.
Okay. Now, you just mentioned, you said that you took the hospital trip your senior year in high school. You are 18 years old, correct?
Yep.
When did you start this group? How old were you?
So I started, I was 18 as well. So, you know, everything's real fresh, real new.
Okay.
And then, so like I said, like, you know, up until the end of my senior year of high school, football was like, that was my everything. I mean, comedy wasn't even an aspect of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then once football sort of ended and I saw that there's no more future with it, I was kind of looking for something to kind of take over my passion, take over my time. So I did my high school talent show, and I think it was March. And then I got first place there out of, like, you know, 20 amazing acts. And then since then, I kind of just fell in love with the stage.
Okay.
And then it was a couple months after that, right when my freshman year of college started, that we sort of created the Laughter's the Cure to Life group and sort of created something bigger with it all.
Excellent.
I have to ask you, you got to give us one of your jokes. You're playing a comedian here. Let's hear your best material. Yeah.
Get used to this. It's going to happen to you all the time.
The phone, but
let's hear the best material.
Anytime you tell someone you're a comic, that's the first thing they say is,
that's like the kiss of death for anybody that does it.
I hate it. It's
be funny.
It's terrible. Well, I'll tell you what, Brad. Teach us how to.
How do you lay a spread?
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you.
I still want to hear a joke. It doesn't matter.
I mean, do you have one for us?
Here? I wish I've yet to come up with something quick and witty, but that's
now, here's what you do. This is what I tell everybody when they ask me the same thing. Just tell them that you don't work for free. They can come see one of your shows.
Right.
Now, exactly.
If you want to hear something, come to one of the shows.
There it is, absolutely.
But you've been supporting a good cause by doing that as well.
Yep, absolutely. And I do have to say I am in his corner. I saw the show. He is funny. And not only does he tell jokes, but he is a juggler as well. And he did a lot of his comedy has to do with, like, the physical comedy of it, with juggling. Nice. and things of that nature. So if people want to follow this group, if people want to get involved, how do they do that?
You can go to website is laughteristhecure.com.
Okay.
You can go to the website, and on there we're always updating it with where the new shows will be, you know, pictures and videos from the last couple shows, and through that website, you can kind of follow everything. And then sort of through social media as well. You know, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at SammyBaller_7. And just through social media, I kind of keep everything up to date in terms of where I'll be, where we'll be, and just with everything going on.
Give us a short-term goal of this comedy thing for charity. What goals do you have?
I guess short-term goal would be to just keep having fun with it. I mean, the biggest thing with any kind of entertainment is you're going to get shot down so many times, just, you know, well, whatever the different reasons might be, as any entertainer will tell you, it's the toughest industry out there. And I guess the short-term goal would be to, you know, continue having fun and just make the best of everything while, you know, raising money for a great cause. And then I guess the long-term goal would be to continue doing shows, eventually get a big sponsor, a big donor behind us, and perform all over the country while raising, you know, hundreds of thousands for the hospital.
Right. Nice. Excellent. Well, I got to say, when I brought this up to the group here, we all agreed that it is just amazing what you and your friends are doing. And if more young people, you know, especially starting out college, just after high school, did stuff like this, the world would be a much, much better place. And
you
we give
sound
you,
so old, Jimmy.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Part of young children today would help out in their community.
We are going to talk about our 20-year reunions here
know,
in a minute,
I know.
Marv, so, but I want to congratulate you. It was a great show. I want to congratulate you on what you guys have been doing. It is a great thing to be doing. And I look forward to following this in the future and seeing what you guys do.
I appreciate that. And like you said, you know, that's what's fun about it is I'm doing it with all my friends. And it's like, you know, anybody who's in the show, anyone who's behind the scenes with the show, it's like, it's really cool when you don't have to, when your friends bring enough talent to the table where you don't have to, you know, search for someone else to do different things. It's like, you know, you need a musician. You know, my best friend plays piano. You need someone to design the flyers.
Yep.
My another best friend, you know, is great with Photoshop. And it's just really cool when you're doing it with all your best buddies.
Marv doesn't know he's been carrying us for 2 years. Yeah. He has no idea what you're talking about.
Right. All right. Well, thank you for coming on the show. Greatly appreciate it. And look forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Yep. I appreciate it a ton.
Absolutely. All right.
So we got to talk. We got to move on. We're running out of time here, but we're going to move on to your date, Jimmy.
Yep. And we're going to try to get her on the phone. She was not able to come in tonight because of family issues.
Welcome to Love Connection.
That's right. I think you know, this might be what she's telling me, and we might get her on the phone. She's like, it was absolutely horrible. I never want to see him again.
Well, I think what's going to happen is we're going to get on the phone.
Here's the host. Her with the lasagna.
Well, yeah. No. Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to get her on the phone, and there's going to be booty music in the background because she's out at a club. Yeah, you know, and she's like, what? I can't. Who is this? What? Who? What?
Exactly.
Shut up, Jeff. I'm on the phone with my mom. Yeah. May or may not hear that.
What was her name again?
Emily.
I just remember as contestant number one. Emily. Yes. Emily.
Yes. Emily. This is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Ah, she answered. I lost $20.
Damn it. Well, hold on. Now, hold on a minute. Be honest. Where are you right now?
I am at my mom's house.
Okay, so you're
helping her out.
Wait, what did I tell them? What was the story?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. Wait, I said mom's house. We were all positive that we were going to hear you at a club somewhere, and you just didn't want to talk to Jimmy no more.
No, no. My mom was really ill over the winter, and she's still kind of recovering from a situation, so I'm helping her out.
Well, now I'm the jackass. Thank you.
That's just par for the course,
yeah,
Marv.
So tell us how terrible the date was with Jimmy on Friday, Emily.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Just joking. No, we had a ton of fun. We, I don't know, did you guys talk about it already?
No, we haven't talked about it at all.
We talked about it during, the date ended at like 9:30.
It was 10:30.
Whatever.
Silence. It was 10:30.
All right. 10:30. Yeah.
Well, and that's just what time you guys parted. The date ended at 9:30. You were just, nice enough to hang on for an hour.
No.
We had
a good time.
Can you give us like a rating of it? What would you give it out of out of a five here?
He's not listening, I promise.
No, yeah, we sent Jimmy out to wash my car, so.
Right.
So, on a scale of shitty to bearable.
On a scale of, I use the, hey, what's this phone call that I'm getting that I have to escape from this date from, to 4 years of copay in your near future? How would it rate on that?
I did not get on my phone at all. Actually, he was really polite and allowed me to take some pictures of the food to use for the Diner in Detroit blog while we were there, which made for some interesting conversation, I thought.
Okay.
You have some Chianti.
Yeah, I had a really nice time. The food was perfect.
Hold on. We have to address the fact that Rochelle just called it Chianti.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
I corrected myself right after.
We have
having a My Blue Heaven moment. Are you trying to say capiche? Don't. It hurts my ear.
You say it hurts my ear. Capiche.
No, there's a restaurant in Novi or Northville. It's
it's
called Chianti? No, I don't think there is.
It's Che something. But I used to call it Chez.
Now, Emily.
Che Guevara? What? What?
Che, it's Che, not Che.
No,
good
Che.
God.
Now, Emily, like everything nowadays, technology makes information get quicker. And Marv was able on to snatch some soundbite from the date, actually, that we're going to play for the audience right now.
We have a soundbite, right? Well, it was actually, it was after the date. Jimmy was talking with a friend of his, or where you were talking with a friend of yours, I guess it was.
We bugged him.
Right, here's the actual audio.
We have it. I know we do.
It's playing. I don't know why it's not playing through the headphones.
Okay,
sorry.
Well,
we'll have to go back to it.
All right. Well, anyway, it was pretty funny.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I can't hear it. What was it?
It's on. It was a Bull Durham.
It was a Bull Durham. Oh. She said, "How long were you and Jimmy together before he asked you to marry him?" And she said, "About 5 hours." Did that happen, right, Emily? Did he ask? How many times did he beg you to marry him?
He did not.
Really?
He politely asked me on another date, and I accepted.
Oh,
that's good news.
So when is that going to happen and where?
I'm not sure. Well, I think we were going to kind of maybe connect on that tonight, but I was unfortunately not able to make it in.
Convenient. So. Convenient.
No. Right.
Yeah, Jimmy, we got to ask Jimmy, though. Are you feeling the same? The date went well?
Yeah, date went very well. We met at Roma Cafe. They had excellent food. She ordered the sweetbread, which Chianti.
No. Let's be clear. It's not sweetbread. It's sweetbreads.
Sweetbreads. I'm sorry. Sweetbreads.
One is a bread with sugar on it.
Right. I'm sorry.
The other is
sweetbread. The other is a thalamus gland.
Which when she originally ordered it, we thought it was some kind of brains, and we were making tons of zombie jokes because she gave me a little bit of it, and it was really, really good. But then we were corrected by actually Dave here, who told us that what is it again?
It's the thalamus gland, sometimes the pancreas, sometimes.
Right, yeah, right. Okay. But it was really,
sometimes
really good. It was really,
it is.
Really
sometimes
good.
It is.
It was fantastic.
And then after dinner, we were kind of debating whether or not to go into Greek Town and do some stuff.
Don't skip over dinner yet. What did she order, like, as her main
sweetbreads?
That was the main entree.
That was the main entree,
okay.
Yeah.
And you shared that, or she
had
that?
She had that, and I had
gnocchi. Which you called gnocchi.
Yeah.
It's gnocchi. Gnocchi, all
right. Right.
At least you didn't call it ganache.
Right.
Because Rochelle loves ganache with a nice Chianti.
No, I actually make it, and I know how to pronounce that one.
At least he didn't have the mental, cram and go, I'll have the knockers.
That would have been bad. Yeah, a Freudian minute there.
Right.
That's good though, because she didn't strike me as a girl that would do it, but like you get a girl that would be like, I'll just have a salad.
No, well,
and
I mean,
you know,
we had soup and salad.
Okay,
and
good.
It was a traditional Italian meal.
Did you have dessert?
Well, the dessert was the wine tasting afterwards.
Okay.
Right. So we had dinner. It was very good. And then we were debating whether or not to go into Greek Town and do a little bit of adventuring, but we were both really, really tired.
Like what? Like spelunking?
Going to Greek Town on Bobby
like
Street.
Rex Kramer, Danger
down.
Seeker?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know if you guys have been to Roma Cafe before.
Yes,
but it's
absolutely.
A lot of food.
No, I know.
By the end of the night, it was one of those feelings for me. I was like, oh, I'm content and I can just go lay in bed and sleep for 12 hours.
Right. Yeah, Jimmy, you missed a golden opportunity.
So we decided that instead of... Yeah, I'm sorry, continue.
Oh, no, we had a really
That's exactly
nice
what he said
and,
when he got her back to her place, too. Yes, continue.
Gave us a nice couple glasses of wine to try. And I thought it was really nice that for something that I'm so into, food and wine, I was really impressed that Jimmy took the time to have the conversations about, you know, the aromatics of the wine and the flavors and all of that. We had a really nice
nice Pinot Grego and a
I actually don't remember
because guy has ever listened to a woman drone on and on and on a first date ever.
No, that's never happens.
He's a man among men.
All right,
man among boys.
Jimmy, give us one. Hold on, let's see if he was paying attention. Give us one tidbit you learned from the conversation.
I learned that
it's not pronounced Pinot Grego.
Yeah, no.
I learned that it was the first wine that we had. We both agreed had a very had a berry flavor. She was able to taste kind of earthy, dirty kind of taste to it.
She's a dirty girl.
And it was very dry.
Yeah.
But I learned, you know, and then I normally whenever I would do a wine tasting before, we'd always switch it around with water. But I learned at Roma Cafe that you're supposed to use club soda, which actually helps cleanse the palate even more. Yep. So there you go, Marv.
I was just making. Now let me ask you this: what color are her eyes?
I know.
Nailed it.
No.
Where's that Jeopardy theme song when I need it?
I want to say brown, but it was dark, so I could be wrong.
Okay,
Emily. They're brown.
Okay. Yep.
But at the same time, 80% of the world has brown eyes, so he was kind of playing the averages there.
No.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a fun date. And when are you gonna get together and come in here and talk about your second date? Hopefully, in the next few weeks.
Two weeks from now, I think that would be really fun.
I think we should do something kind of like interactive next time. Like try, you know, to go out and do something and then maybe have dinner or drinks afterwards.
Well, you know, I agree. Well, you know, the most interactive thing two people can do.
Oh, right.
Pong?
Yes, absolutely. Pong.
Pong.
Yes.
Ping pong.
Well, Jimmy had talked, you know, we were talking about his passion for theater, and I
thought he was gay? Yes, we understand.
No. My mom's really into theater. I actually had, also when I was younger, an opportunity to perform at the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. So we had a really great conversation about that, and maybe something like that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to go see a play or
yeah, whatever. Absolutely. Yeah, right. I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and maybe some of Jimmy's boyfriends can come along.
Yeah.
No,
because nothing says interactive like sitting and watching people on stage. That's right. Absolutely, yes.
That, well, no, but then you talk about it afterwards.
Oh,
that's where the interaction comes from.
Oh, that's where it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Barnes, what would your second date be?
If I were on a date with you, I would delay the conversation for as long as possible, too. So I'm right there with her.
Thanks, Dave. You know what? I sent you a friend request before the show. I'm taking it back.
Barnes, give
I'm really impressed with how honest you are, Jimmy. I can tell that you're a very sincere person.
Oh, my God. He made up half of that shit he told you. I don't know what it is.
Not.
I don't know what it was.
You didn't notice him looking beneath the table at the note cards that Marv gave him?
Listen, all right, I got to come clean. He was texting me the whole time. Like, Marv, I'm tasting this wine. What should I say about it? I'm like, just say it has
earthy.
Legs, and you're tasting hints of apricot and stuff like that. Just always go with apricot.
No, it was a berry. It was like
it was a dark cherry.
Yeah, that very first one. It was a dark cherry, kind of like what seemed like it would have come from northern Michigan. Kind of taste to it.
Yep. It was red, so he went with cherry.
No, but the dark cherry. That
could have been
really
cranberry. Could have been maybe apple.
You know, Papa always said it's either midnight blue or cherry red.
That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Emily, for being a good sport about it, and I hope you guys continue to work out.
Remember, second date, sometimes on the second.
No, she was the one that didn't agree with that.
No, my answer was never before the fourth date.
Yeah.
So. You're going to make him wait till the fourth date?
Yeah.
Better get going.
Yeah. Come on.
That's
fine.
Well, you guys have a good night.
You too. Right, Take care, Emily.
Bye.
All right. That is Emily giving an update on Jimmy. Sounds like it went well,
It did. It went very well. Yep. I mean, you know, we're enjoying each other's company, so I wish it could have lasted a little bit longer, but... You know, she has a very demanding, very tiring job, and eating a lot of Italian food really does kind of put you into that, like, food coma.
No idea what you're talking about after we ate lasagna.
It was a really good date. I'm looking forward to the next one.
Mm. Sweet.
Yep,
Barnes, awesome. What's your idea of a crazy second date? Give it to me.
Not even a crazy second date.
You don't do second dates?
No. None at all. He just Well, you've seen how he fights. He never goes past the first round. Of course he's not going to go on a second date.
He doesn't do that with the women in the bed either.
Heck no. Yeah. He's in and out of there in 30
seconds.
Right.
It's winning.
Hashtag winning.
He's like, it's not an endurance race. It's first one of the finish line.
That's right.
And Jimmy, you also had your 20-year reunion this
Yes,
weekend.
I did. I had my 20-year reunion on Saturday. And you had yours, what you said, about three
weeks ago? About 3 weeks ago, maybe 4.
What was yours like?
It was amazing, actually. Yeah. Actually, we're trying to get together once a month and get together. It was the same.
Yeah. Everybody says that.
I
get what you're saying.
No, we're going to get together.
It was incredible. It was it was people that I love, and for whatever reason, lose touch.
Yeah. Well, and that's a – I mean, so for the most part, my buddy Bob Fox and I were there. We were trying to convince one of our other friends to come, but a lot of people couldn't come because they were out of state – on tour, at Bike Week, you know, all these different things that were going on.
Well, can I ask you really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you're from Dearborn.
Yes.
Okay, how many people have actually stayed in Dearborn? Because I'm from Dearborn Heights, and it seems like a lot of the people from there have, like, you know, married
someone from there
and stayed there.
Well, I would say out of the people that were at the reunion, I would say about a little bit less than half of the people stayed in Dearborn or in the very immediate surrounding Dearborn areas.
And work at Ford.
No, actually, nobody works at Ford.
Fords.
They work at Ford.
Yeah, actually, I don't think anybody there worked at Ford. Ford's.
Myers is right, but Kmart's is wrong.
A lot of people moved out of state, Colorado, Arizona, Florida, places like that.
Illinois?
I don't think anybody moved to Illinois. But like I was saying, my buddy Bob Fox, so he's like one of the people that from high school that I've kept in contact with, you know, all through these years. And he actually is an aspiring writer. He does write a lot. He has actually got a book coming out at the end of the month, but he puts excerpts from his book when his first wife and him went to Ukraine, because that's where they were from, or that's where she was from. He wrote a book about his adventures there, and he puts excerpts on Facebook. And I kid you not, he was the rock star of the reunion. Like, everybody was coming up to him and going, oh, my God, I read your stuff. And he's like, I was like the band geek in high school. Like, how does this happen? So, but I actually did, you know, there were people that I didn't really talk to or weren't friends with in high school that, you know, kind of talked surprisingly to them a lot. And
That stuff passes over them.
Well, yeah, but
did you have to kill anybody with a ballpoint pen?
That's the 10-year reunion.
That's
ten
we already.
Oh, that's
that.
Right. That is 10 years, isn't it? Yeah, I apologize.
But it was really good, and I enjoyed it. I think a lot more than I thought I was initially going in. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
No, I had a blast, and we are going to try to get together once a month going forward. I know for sure we're getting back together on Thanksgiving. So hopefully we can. We had some teachers that were really cool teachers show up, and that was actually the best part.
So where the event was, on one side is a banquet hall, and the other side is like a bar kind of area.
Where was that?
O'Kelly's on Park Street in Dearborn.
Yep.
So I pull up. Initially, as I'm pulling up, I see the sign that says, welcome, Etza Ford class of 19. I couldn't see the rest of it. So I pull into the parking lot, and I'm looking at all these people standing around going, oh, my God. Like, these people are – I age really well. Like, I was kind of shocked at first. And then I get out of my car, and I'm kind of, like, halfway looking around. I'm like, is this class of 95? They're like – no, this is Etza Ford class of 75. They're like 95's on the other side. I'm like, oh.
They graduated before you were born.
They no.
75?
75. Yeah, that was a year before I was born. Yep, a year before I was born. So,
well,
yeah.
It might have taken a little bit to get through high school. Don't judge.
True. But, you're right. I apologize.
But everybody was saying that I should have gone to the 75 reunion, just go, hey, ladies, what's up? I look really good, don't I, for being, 58
you
or whatever.
You should have just taken on a persona. Grabbed a name tag that hadn't been picked up.
Well, that's what I thought. Yeah, they were saying is like, yeah, my name is so and so, you know. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
No, the thing I get from it is that the 20 years went fast. Holy shit!
It did.
Blink, and it's.
I mean, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but yet when you look back at like all the things that have happened in the span of 20 years, it's like, yeah, I guess it kind of has been 20 years.
You know? I always say I used to laugh when my grandparents would tell me that the older you get, the faster time goes.
But it really does.
I'm not laughing anymore.
No, no, it's crazy.
The older you get, the more you approach that speed of light. Uh-huh. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And USA just opened up on Eureka, by the way.
Yeah,
it's August.
Yeah.
So it's like it just keeps going. Oh, it's
I still don't know how the hell that happened this year already.
Well, look. During the day, I work at a large urban university. In the area.
Do tell.
We are getting applications now for people born in 1998.
How does that make you feel?
Born in 1998.
Let's see, 1990.
Wait, no, I just had to do that math and screw that. No, because that's – no, screw that.
They're 90. Yeah, 90.
No.
They're, yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yep, 90. I was like –
denial, no. Not just a river in Egypt.
Yeah, like, oh, that's exactly what I did. I didn't even
–
actually, I didn't even put their application in the system. I was like, no, you're – try again and like – 6 years.
Wow.
Let the intern take this one.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we want to say thank you to everybody that joined us tonight. I want to get the title right. Miss?
Today's American Woman? Classy, yeah. Mrs.
Okay.
Today's, yeah. American, Today's American Woman? Classy, classy Mrs.
No, thank, okay, you so much. Yeah. We learned actually a lot about it, too.
Yeah.
Why isn't she wearing her crown?
She's got it in the box.
Right,
why
now
aren't you wearing it?
I'm
going to
crown
thing,
you up in just a second.
That's awesome. Yeah. If I had that crown, I would wear it constantly.
We want to thank Barnes. We want to thank, yes, Wolf. Yes. We want to thank, I forget the gentleman's name.
Jimmy
Sam?
Pache.
Jimmy,
no, Sam.
His
Sam,
name's,
yeah,
Jimmy. He's been working. He's been
the
with
charity
us
event.
The,
yep,
yep, Sam. Yep. We will not be in studio next week. I am going to Chicago. The Cubs are playing the Tigers.
Oh.
I will be there. So we're taking a week off, but we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Barnes
and we
can
won't
sit
take
in for you.
Off.
He's going to be here.
Yeah. we got Barnes now.
Exactly. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, everybody. Thank you very much, David Phillips, for everything. Rochelle. Ring girl Liz.
Especially
we'll
Rochelle for the lasagna.
Yes,
lasagna was
thank
amazing.
You.
David, did you have a piece?
I did grab a piece. That's really, really freaking good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. All right. Take care. See everyone in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.